Introduction. Have you, dear reader, ever felt like there is so much more to being a disciple of Jesus than what modern Western Christianity has presented to you? Have you ever had questions about a belief or practice of Christianity that was either dismissed as a lack of faith on your part or answered with an appeal to tradition? Has it ever seemed odd to you that everyone who was part of the New Testament looked exclusively to the Old Testament as his or her authority in matters of identity, meaning, morality, and destiny? But rather than follow the biblical example recorded for us in both testaments, the Christianity practiced in the West has only looked to the New Testament writings as its authority for the same. Why did we behold the pattern and then completely ignore it? How were our Christian forebears and contemporaries able to wax eloquent on eschatology, Christology, and soteriology, yet had so difficult a time counting to three? Here's what I mean. Jesus claimed that one sign, and one sign alone, would authenticate him as the Messiah. Do you know what that sign was? It was the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so also will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 12 and verse 40. Jesus was fully aware that the day consisted of 12 hours, for he rhetorically asked as much in John 11 and verse 9. He was also aware that the night consisted of 12 hours, completing the 24-hour cycle of one full day. Yet when does Christianity believe and celebrate that Christ died and was buried? Good Friday. When did he rise from the dead? Resurrection Sunday. So how is Friday evening to Sunday before sunrise 3 days and 3 nights? It isn't anywhere except in Christianity. Why did Paul curse, doom, damn anyone in heaven or on earth who altered the gospel in any way, shape, or form from what Paul had specifically defined as the gospel in the same letter to the Galatians? Yet, oddly enough, when one asks any Christian today what the gospel is, he or she will get as many different answers as the number of persons asked. How does this harmonize with Paul's injunction in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9? This book will conduct an audit of the Western Christian faith and practice. It will look into how and why Christians have inherited a Hellenized, sanitized, compromised, and undersized version of what is chronicled in the entire Bible. In the following chapters, I will ask a lot of questions. I will also lay out a case that the Christianity that has been handed down to us is not only laden with contradictions, but has been corrupted by errors in its interpretation and application for hundreds of years. Remember the telephone game we all played as children? One person started by whispering a phrase into the ear of her neighbor. That phrase was received and transmitted to the next person, and to the next, on and on, traveling around the circle until the last person received the message and then relayed it to the group for all to hear. More often than not, the message arrived largely distorted or even completely different from the original phrase, and that is what made it so funny. But to what do we owe this humorous happening, this funny phenomenon? There are two underlying reasons which caused the telephone game message to nearly always become distorted. One, a failure to check the transmission against the standard being the original message. And two, a failure to make corrections to the transmission after it was checked against the standard. When these two actions are omitted, there is a very high probability that said message will be warped, bent, twisted, and corrupted. It is this very phenomenon that I believe has occurred throughout the ages in Western Christianity. Our forefathers failed to check the messages they received against the standard, the only standard that has ever existed, and the same standard that both the Old and the New Testaments point to, the Law of Moses and the Prophets. As a result, the appropriate corrections were never made to the teachings that our forebears inherited and then passed on to us. This can be likened to what happens when someone makes a copy of a copy of a copy. If each subsequent copy does not stem from the original, then any and all anomalies present in the successive copies are then perpetuated indefinitely. You see, if a person deviates merely one degree from the present course, in a short time he can scarcely perceive a departure from the path. But after more than a millennium of divergence, that one degree becomes exponentially compounded so that a once present course is no longer even perceptible. This is what has happened to Christianity. Our Bibles still hold a record of that once present course, yet because of gradual deviations in the form of misinterpretations, misinformation, along with cultural biases and prejudices, we are 1,000 miles off course and do not even realize it. It is the aim of this book to demonstrate just how far from that once present course we have drifted, what caused the drift, and what we can do to get back on track. The arguments presented in this work will be based in logic, reason, philosophy, and common sense, all of which every one of us uses on a daily basis.